Mightiest Fangirls, and today we're talking about episodes 4 through 6 of What If.
I watched these with my roommates because I just put it on the TV and they just kind of filtered in and out doing whatever. They were not impressed.
I'm not either.
Honestly, I'm kind of waiting for the tie-in payoff because I think of the 6 that we've seen so far, especially these last 3, What If is so skippable.
Yeah. And I don't think that we were super impressed by the episodes last week either. Like, I think the first 3 episodes tried to each have some, like, shock and awe. I think all of the episodes are trying to have some shock and awe moment.
Right.
That is making up for what they completely lack in, which is an interesting story.
Yeah. Or I think I would have more fun or be more interested in these what ifs if the MCU wasn't taking them so seriously. Like, if I went into it not knowing that, oh, this is going to be canon, this is going to factor into the movies. If I went in of just like, no, this is just a what-if scenario, I think I would have more fun. I think I would enjoy these more. But the weight of questioning is taking the fun out of it. I think it's taking itself too seriously.
I do like that it is, like, the what-if scenario that is also canon because it's bringing in the multiverse. Like, that is something that I do enjoy, that, like, somewhere in some universe this version of these characters is canon. I do appreciate that. But the criticism I've been seeing the most recently has been that these episodes write as really bad fan fiction, and if I had read the summary of any single one of these, I would not have clicked in.
Yeah, it feels like really bad fan fiction. And I think the one sentence premise would be interesting, and then I wouldn't read it. And then I'm watching them and I'm like, oh.
Well, you don't read fan fiction.
Yeah.
As someone who does read fan fiction, I would not even click in for the one sentence premises. Because, for example, let's look at the Doctor Strange episode 4,
right? Okay.
It's, what if Doctor Strange didn't have a heart? Or what if Doctor Strange lost his heart, right?
Yeah.
I would have read that sentence and been like, what heart? And moved on.
Okay, I was going to say, that's a really bad example for you personally. You don't like Doctor Strange to begin with. What if you'd heard the premise of the 6th one? What if Killmonger finds Tony? Would that be an interesting one for you?
What if Killmonger finds Tony? I honestly don't think that was something that I was like, what if Killmonger saved Tony from Afghanistan?
Yeah.
Like, it might have piqued my interest, but it would have been the kind of crack ship. It's not a crack ship because it's not a ship, but it's like, right. It's the crack plot. It's a crack plot. Like, I would have been very like, okay, and then still moved on.
Okay.
And the same thing with the zombie one, which is, what if Bruce came down from fighting Thanos and found a zombie apocalypse? Yeah. I would have just been like, ugh, the Walking Dead hype, move on. Right. And I know that the zombie episode is actually based on, like, a real comic thread that happened. Like, that zombie Avengers is a real thing that happened. But it's a real thing that happened that I'm pretty sure was written by the same guy who did The Walking Dead, so...
Right. All right.
It's still Walking Dead hype.
Yeah. So we'll go into it like we did last time, of just episode by episode. The first one was zombies. The first one was the zombie one.
Doctor Strange.
What? You're right.
Yeah. The Doctor Strange one was before the zombies. So first we get Doctor Strange's episode of, what if he lost his heart? So in this scenario, it's, what if Christine died instead of he lost his ability to use his hands?
Right.
And... can I just say?
I know.
I don't know if you know what I'm about to say, actually.
Go on.
This is the most stupid version of fridging I have ever seen. Because you can literally replace Rachel McAdams with his hands from the original. You are literally, all you are doing here is replacing the woman or replacing, like, the version of the story where we don't kill any women for the sake of the character growth of a man, which actually we technically do in the first one, but it's just right. Tilda Swinton and not Rachel McAdams. We do that, and instead we're like, actually, like, we're gonna do the fridging now. Like, we didn't do mm-hmm. the fridging in the first time, but we're gonna do the fridging now.
Yeah.
Just to prove this, like, weird point that, like, Doctor Strange is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But he's only powerful because he lost sight of himself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just thought it was stupid. I don't like Doctor Strange, obviously.
Yeah.
And I hate fridging, I think. Mm-hmm. Sorry. If anyone's listening and you don't know what fridging is a term that comes from actually a comic book, and I don't remember which comic book, where like the main comic book character finds their wife or girlfriend murdered and stuffed in a fridge
mm-hmm.
to have that character go through emotional growth and to further right. the plot of that character. So fridging has now, like, is colloquial means, like, anytime a woman dies for the sake of furthering the plot of a man.
Which happens all the time.
And a good rule of thumb is, if you can replace the woman with a dog, and the same thing can happen, then she's been fridged.
Okay.
Like, yeah. if there's no reason for the woman to have been there other than for emotional support, you know?
Right.
I will also say I'm surprised that Rachel McAdams came back for this.
Yeah.
Because at first I was like, oh, that could be her, but that could be someone who's really good at doing her voice. And I looked right. it up and I was like, that's Rachel McAdams.
That was her. Yeah.
So I'm really surprised that she came back for that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I really hated the fridging. What did you think I was going to say?
I know you hate Doctor Strange. So this episode was dead on arrival. Yeah. I knew that this one was, like, there was no starting with this one for you personally.
I mean, I think they could have done a Doctor Strange story that I could have been interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know that I hate Doctor Strange, but we also know that I am excited for the new Doctor Strange movie because I'm very intrigued by its premise.
Right. This was the only one that I wondered was going to tie in. Like, I'm wondering if Demon Strange is going to show up in the movie. Like, is that the Multiverse of Madness? Who knows? I don't know, and I'm trying to make myself care.
I will also say that I think what didn't click for me in this episode, and I texted you this, was that I think playing with Doctor Strange doesn't have a heart
mm-hmm.
felt like a call. Like, it felt like this should have been an episode about Tony. Mm-hmm. With what if Tony Stark didn't have a heart, because mm-hmm. like that is such like a phrase that I feel is like connected to Tony Stark.
Oh yeah.
That like putting it onto another character felt cheap.
Right.
And I just think that if we wanted a Demon Strange, there was probably another way to get there without using the phrase like what if he lost his heart mm-hmm. and fridging a woman.
Right. As someone who likes Doctor Strange, I don't even know if I would say, like, as a character, or, like, I have a higher opinion of Doctor Strange than Sabrina does.
Mm-hmm.
And I was interested in this episode, kind of. But the whole, I think the premise was also dead on arrival, because when I think of the movie, I don't think of his relationship with Rachel McAdams. I kind of forgot her character's name. So the whole, to hinge all of this on a relationship that neither... that the title character wasn't invested in, I was like, I don't care. I don't... like, all of this is falling flat for me. The only thing that I thought was not interesting, but, like, noteworthy is the whole point of this episode is Christine is a... her death is a absolute point in time or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because she dies over and over again. Strange has to protect her. It doesn't work. And I was like, it's interesting that this show, where the entire premise is, like, time fluctuates. What if... and then they're like, no, this cannot change. And I was like, time paradoxes are a thing, plot paradoxes are a thing. The whole point is that this, in this alternate universe timeline for Doctor Strange, Christine must die kind of a situation. And I was like, oh, that is a plot paradox. Because there's clearly, we're all cognizantly aware that there is a timeline where Christine is fine. Mm-hmm. And animated Strange can never get there.
Yeah, and I think the other thing with that, too, is that it is exactly what you said. There is a version of this where she survives and he still becomes Doctor Strange. So I don't know why there was such a... Why did that have to be the absolute point here?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't feel like this is the, like, one little change.
Right.
A lot of these episodes have been like, there's just going to be one little change that's mm-hmm. going to set off a course of events.
That are totally different from what we know.
Yeah. And this doesn't feel like a one little change.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the movie... I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, they did date, but they broke up. Or they didn't date at all?
They were together, and they broke up because Strange is self-absorbed. And so in the intro of the movie, they're not together. But they're still, like, lingering glances. And, like, they don't get together until midway to the end, / the end of the movie.
That feels like what should have been the one change then is that, like, mm-hmm. what if they had never broken up?
Right.
And, like, just follow that course of events, not mm-hmm. he dies. Or she dies.
I know.
You know, and then destroys the universe because of it.
Yeah. And I will say, this is the most character growth we've ever seen from Doctor Strange, and it happened in this, like, 30-minute one-off that I don't care about. Was there
even character growth?
Not until the end, when both Stranges realized this wasn't the way, and I was like, cool.
Yeah.
Because, like, he doesn't grow in the MCU. He stays himself, which is part of what the problem is in Spider-Man. Also, looking at my notes that I wrote down,
allegedly what is going to be the problem in Spider-Man. We don't know yet.
That's true. But I wrote in all caps when Demon Strange started coming into being. I wrote all caps, oh my god, is Strange becoming Mephisto? I don't know if that's true, but that's where I was at when I watched this.
No, Mephisto is like the equivalent of Satan.
You know that that's the rumor of Spider-Man, is Strange isn't is Strange. So I was like, is this how that happens? And I don't know, but that's where my brain went to in all caps for a second. Other than that, I'm done with this episode.
Yeah, same. Right? I just really didn't like it, and I wish if they were gonna play with, like, what if so and so didn't have a heart, they would have actually just used Tony Stark.
Right. Or built up a more believable relationship with Strange and Christine. I don't know.
I mean, that's not what if's fault. That's Doctor Strange's fault. Like,
yeah.
Anyway, next episode. This is the zombie episode.
This is zombies.
I have no thoughts.
This was my least favorite episode. I was really bored, which is ridiculous. I mean, I'm not a zombie fan anyway, and I know that there is a specific, I don't want to say formula, but there are specific hits to the genre that, like, people know the pacing and how the stories go, so maybe that's why. I didn't like it. I just wasn't a fan of this one. And my least favorite thing about it is I feel like when zombies become zombies, they don't retain conscious abilities. So the fact all of the zombies knew how to be Avengers really peeved me off.
So I think that that's actually what's lacking in this is I watched a TikTok of Jay Stoops. I didn't watch a lot of it because it disturbed me, like the content of, like, this zombie arc in the comics, and I was like, oh, I would never want to read that. So I think that's probably what's lacking from this episode is that they probably should have leaned into the horror aspect of it, which was, so Jay Stoops was saying that when this happened in the comics, the zombies do retain their memories and their ability, but it's less of, it's almost like being possessed.
Oh, so, that, like, their consciousness is there, but there's something in the way,
in the way, and whatever you do, you can't stop yourself. Like, you're so overrun by the hunger that you're not able to stop yourself from, like, murdering whoever's in front of you.
Oh, man.
And like, the story she was telling was that, like, when this run was happening, Spider-Man gets bit, and he goes to Aunt May and Mary Jane to be like, I gotta protect you, I gotta save you, like, I just got bit, and I wanna make sure, like, you guys are okay. But by the time he gets to them,
he's taken over.
He's taken over, and so the horrific part is that Peter, inside, just has to kind of mentally resign himself to the fact that he's killing his wife and aunt.
Oh, man.
And, like, that's the horrific part of that story, right. You know?
Yeah.
So I think that that's probably what was lacking for this episode to mm-hmm. make it interesting.
Yeah, it definitely just felt cartoonish the whole time. And also, they do. They kill people they really care about. Mm-hmm. And it unfazed. All of them. Completely unfazed. And I was really saddened by that.
Yeah, like when Okoye kills Sam and says mm-hmm. to Bucky, I'm sorry, I know he was your friend.
Yeah.
And even when Bucky is fighting...
Bucky takes out Cap!
The thing is, though, he didn't.
He didn't?
He just... The only way to kill a zombie is by...
Oh.
In the head. Is like a headshot.
Right.
And he just, you know, cut him in half.
Right,
by the torso.
Right.
Not like...
Out, yeah.
Out. So I'm like, you kind of didn't kill your friend there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh my god. Did you also... The second that Hope got swallowed by zombie Sharon, I was like, oh, Hope's a zombie now.
Mm, like I didn't think of that, but I mean, I should have.
Because the thing that in the intro video that Peter showed Banner,
mm-hmm.
it was like, it's passed by saliva. And I was like, you just entered her mouth.
Oh, I missed that part. Man.
Like,
yeah.
You just entered her mouth. I was like, I don't know how it's going to happen. And then when she took off her helmet, I was like, oh, she's going to, like, accidentally, like, eat the blood or something.
Right.
Yeah. Which I guess wouldn't be saliva, but...
Yeah.
Whatever.
But it was also really graphically violent. Graphically violent, and they just played it off of, like, she explodes Sharon, and she's like,
I think nothing of it. They were able to get away with it because... Technically, zombies aren't people anymore.
Yeah, and it's animated.
Yeah. Anyway, I just didn't have a lot of thoughts. Like, I was, like, sort of intrigued when we got to Vision, and I was like, oh my god, that's, like, Scarlet Witch. Like, he's keeping her contained. Mm-hmm. But then, like, when you see T'Challa, you're like, oh, ew.
Right.
I don't like what's happening here.
Right.
And I was like, that's just, like, the way that Vision just... took
the stone out
himself and did that, like, and then it was like the Thanos drop, like, from when mm-hmm. Thanos did it. I was just like, why did we have to have this scene again and have like mm-hmm. zombie Wanda go crazy?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I feel like this episode was just a dud.
Yeah. One last thought. Whoever was doing the Tom Holland impression did a really bad job. I knew immediately that wasn't our boy, and I was like, you know what, actors are going to do their best, but also you sound like you are desperately trying to be Tom Holland.
I know, but you know, they definitely weren't able to get him for it because of Sony.
That's true. And like, you did your best, I'm sorry it wasn't good.
No. Yeah. Like, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And it was always, again, nice to hear Chadwick Boseman again in the role of T'Challa.
I keep forgetting it's actually him. And every time T'Challa comes in, I'm like, it's someone doing a Chadwick impression. It's not.
No.
Here we are.
It's very good. It's very good because it's actually Chadwick.
Oh, that was the last thing. I'm surprised by how much of the cast came back. It did end up coming back for the zombie episode. Like, cool.
Again, I feel like we've talked about that. We talked about this last time.
I have a goldfish brain, and so I have seen the picture of everyone who's coming back, and then I immediately forgot about it, so everything is a surprise.
Yep. And a lot of the characters, I mean, I think with that, with the exception of, like, Okoye and Sharon, the rest of these people have been in an episode or two beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I wasn't surprised to hear them.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah.
And I knew going in that it wasn't going to be Tom Holland because I think I saw, like, a TikTok about it. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I guess on to the last episode, which was a what if Killmonger saved Tony in Afghanistan before he got exploded and went to the cave.
Right. And I saw, I shouldn't say people, I saw Straw Hat, and he was the most excited about this one, so I thought this one would be good. I hated this one. I texted Sabrina. I thought it was a really bad adaptation and disservice to both of their origin stories.
Mm-hmm. I mean, okay, so I don't necessarily agree. I guess, yes, on Killmonger's part too. Yeah, you're right. Never mind, you're right. I had to think that through for a second. I was like, yeah, they what was initially a really cool coup and takeover that he did in Black Panther felt like really cheap and meaningless.
Yeah. And in Black Panther, what Killmonger wanted, he didn't want to just, like, kill people. He didn't want war for war's sake or anything. Or just, like, want power. There was more of a noble cause to it. And this one, I felt like I lost that.
There's definitely more nuance to Killmonger in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I will disagree with you that, like, the Killmonger of Black Panther also kind of just wanted war for the sake of power.
Mm.
Like, yes, he's nuanced. Yes, he's not wrong when he says Wakanda should have been sharing resources.
Right.
But he also, like, reveled in the kill.
Mm. I mean, what's the point of Killmonger?
I know.
And all of his tattoos. No, I'm saying that for my sake of, like, yeah, that's why he was called that.
Yeah. So I think with this episode and the Doctor Strange episode and also other episodes too are really highlighting is that I don't know who's writing these stories, but I don't think that they actually care about the characters that they are writing.
Yeah, I get that feeling too.
Because to circle back to the this is just really badly written fan fiction, had I actually clicked into a fic that was this episode, you know, I would have stopped reading it in the first, like, 200 words because the characters are out of character.
Yeah.
So, like, I think the Tony Stark that we know, the only thing that he would have needed to see was a bomb with his name on it pointed at
American soldiers. Yeah. People he was protecting and fighting for, yeah.
Exactly. To just be like, I gotta investigate this. This is not okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, full stop.
Yeah.
And maybe you can argue that this Tony Stark wouldn't have done that because we have Killmonger whispering in his ear, but we don't see that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see the little scenes of them whispering in Tony's ear being like, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
To make that kind of credible to me. I don't know. I really hated it because I genuinely think that that's where it kind of fell off for me. So I was like, I don't think that this version of Tony would do this. And the way that it felt like he was dismissing Pepper. Because Pepper is the most important person in his life.
Yeah.
Before that, when he gets kidnapped, Pepper is the most important person in his life. Full stop.
Yeah.
So, and he values her opinion more than anything. So, for her to not really be able to be like, hey, Tony, I don't trust this guy. And for him to not also, Like that we didn't have a scene like that, you know? Like, I just don't think there was any respect for
Pepper. He just immediately blew her off.
Yeah, there was no respect for Pepper as a character. There was no respect for Tony or Killmonger or anybody as a character in this episode. And I think that's true for all of these episodes. I don't think that there's a lot of respect being given to these characters where I feel like the trajectory that's happening makes sense to the characters we know.
Yeah. I thought it was... there was a point where, like, this... where Tony kept acting like his obnoxious self, and I was like, I guess if he hadn't been humbled or come, like, had his realization, he would have continued down his path. But it still felt disingenuous because, like, I didn't like that the episode included the realization of, like, he saw the Stark bomb, and, like, that was the real, like... that was the change. So I think this episode would have been believable if he hadn't, like, that part hadn't happened or something.
Yeah, I mean, because, it's definitely, like, a catalyst for him, so.
Yeah, that was a catalyst. So him to go on to the press conference and be like, I saw the bomb with Stark name on, with the Stark name on it, and I realized we need more. And I was like, okay, you don't understand Tony Stark. It wasn't just the trauma in the, like, the journey in the cave that he took. Like, you just don't understand him.
And I mean, It could definitely be understandable that, like, he's not going to build Iron Man after that because the time in the cave is what prompted him to build Iron Man. And we can't discount Yinsen as a character that helped Tony grow during that time.
Right.
But I just don't know. Like, I think being bombed with something that has your name on it is enough of a traumatic experience to want to, like, rethink some life choices. Also, like, the treatment of Rhodey in this episode. He's barely in it.
Yeah.
And that's his best friend.
I know. He was unfazed when Rhodey died.
He
was hurt, but, like, not... We saw how he acted in Civil War when he thought something happened to Rhodey, and we didn't get that when he died in this episode, you know?
I guess, but, you know, he did sick that robot thing on Killmonger.
He did, but also the way this episode was written,
to it,
it kind of made it seem like it was because you smeared the Stark name, you know? This was another point where I didn't like the writing of this episode, is it wasn't... The way when Rhodey died, Ed felt like he was retaliating for, like,
dragging him into this.
Yeah, dragging him into this, and not, you just killed my best friend.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And it's, again, so much of the original cast came back, and it was nice to see these characters again, but it was a bummer. This episode was honestly just a letdown.
Yeah.
One thing that made me.
All of them are.
Yeah. One thing that made me, like, absurdly excited. Paul Bettany came back as Jarvis.
I didn't think he was at first.
Yeah, I saw
Tony
that
kept
in the
talking to Jarvis. Tony kept talking to Jarvis, and I was like, "Where is Jarvis's quippy response?" And then it was just like one line, and I was like, "That I don't like that." Like, I love that he did do the line.
Yeah, he came in to read for Vision, and then they're like, "And here's a Jarvis."
Yeah, exactly. But I just was kind of surprised that there wasn't, like, more Jarvis.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to put in his quippy lines.
I know.
And at that point,
Jarvis talks back to him all the time.
Yeah. And at that point, I kind of thought that, like, Jarvis wasn't in the episode at all. I was like, well, Tony has talked to Jarvis directly, like, twice now, and he hasn't said anything. And then, like, 2 minutes later, we get a Jarvis line from Paul Bettany. And I was like, wait, what? So he has... they got him for this. They just didn't give him any lines.
I know, which is a bummer. Also... the actress for Pepper did her best. It was not good. I was really distracted by how bad the Gwyneth Paltrow impersonation was. Whoever did the Tony one actually did a fairly decent job.
Yeah.
Like, you know, passable Robert Downey Jr. impression.
I think it was
the Pepper one
a little
was
bit too nasally, but yeah. Like, I think the guy was just talking, like, really up in, like, his nose.
Yeah, yeah.
to try and do that. The Letitia Wright... impression was not too bad. Noticeable.
Also,
because
she's like a baby.
Yeah.
She's a baby Shuri. Yeah.
But yeah, I think there was just like a lot that was wrong.
Yeah.
And again, I know that this is going to sound like I'm just really harping on the, like, it just doesn't feel like it's in character because this is the Tony Stark episode. And I'm biased and I love Tony the most. But I think it's valid about all the other episodes too. I just don't care about Doctor Strange, so there's other things for me to be mad about than thinking yeah. he's out of character.
Yeah. I think Doctor Strange felt the most out of character because we never saw this side of him. We never saw this development of Doctor Strange. So, like, it felt out of character because we've never... he's a one-note dude.
We've only
ever seen one note from him. Yeah.
But even, like, honestly, like, what's most telling is that I'm really sitting here trying to remember what, like, one of the episodes was, one of the first three episodes was, and I can't remember at all. I remember the Captain Carter episode, but what was the third one? I cannot remember for the life of me.
The Avengers died before the team assembled.
Oh my god.
So Straw Hat did a ranking of these episodes, and he didn't like this one. He ranked it pretty low. For me, I'm the opposite. And
wait,
he did
wait,
say...
you're talking about the Avengers Died one is the one that got ranked very low? Okay.
Yeah. And he said that the main reason it, like, sticks out is because of the shock value.
Yeah.
Which, fair. I think that is a large part of it. But the reason I think it's actually my favorite is because the way it ended of just, like, there will always be heroes. And I was like, okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I like that. But yeah, I don't really...
But that is the thing about these episodes is that they feel very empty because it feels like nobody who loves these characters is writing them.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are, each episode is trying to find its shock and awe moment instead of trying to follow a story that makes canonical sense.
Or would be genuinely interesting for this character that we know and love.
Yeah. Well, because, like, even if we just go back to the Captain Carter episode, right?
Right.
Red Skull's plan, I'm pretty sure, was never to bring a monster
demon squid
in from another dimension.
No.
Like, that was just never his plan. So that felt very, like, outlandish and, like, weird, especially because it was, like, a literal callback to a movie that we all know very well and love very well.
Yeah.
Like, where it was the beginning of, you know, all of this, and they weren't playing with that stuff nearly as much. And maybe, like, because we are this far out, like, they were like, well, we can do this now because, like, we can be kind of crazier because this is the MCU. But, like, it just felt like out of place to do that and to start with it with the first Avenger.
And they also kind of scapegoated that, like, Red Skull was a Nazi. Like, but that was a, not a large part, but, like, by summoning a demon squid, we just kind of, like, went into, oh, this is, like, wild and crazy, magical MCU, other dimensions. And I was like, Red Skull was a Nazi. I think we're losing sight of things here.
Especially the part where it's like, I don't care about the Nazis, I only care about Hydra.
I know, and it's like, no, you're also a Nazi. Like, you were still a supremacist.
Yeah. There's just, like... Yeah, and then the All the Avengers Die episode is just, like, shock value of all of them dying.
Yeah.
And then the T'Challa episode... I think the T'Challa episode is the only good episode so far.
I think that's fair. I think even though the Avengers Die one is my favorite, I remember in the when we talked about it, I didn't like this one much. But now that I've seen the rest of them, I do think this is the best one.
Mm-hmm. So I guess now, I didn't prepare for this, but we can do our own ranking of it so far.
We could.
And I feel like I'm going to have to go from, like, bottom to top.
Right.
Like, what's the worst to the best?
Okay.
And, okay, I'm going to go off the top of my head.
All right.
The Tony Killmonger one is the worst.
Okay.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
I think then it has to be the Doctor Strange one.
Mm-hmm.
And then zombies. It's these are the three worst. that we watched, I think.
Yeah, the second round was not a good one.
These are my three worst.
Okay.
And then it's going to be Avengers Die,
mm-hmm.
Captain Carter, T'Challa is a Guardian.
Okay.
So that was worst to best.
Right. Which, I honestly agree, and I think this is just down to personal taste, because the bottom three were not good. My worst, I didn't like zombies. Zombies, the Killmonger finds Dr. or Tony, then Doctor Strange, and then I think the next three are Captain Carter, T'Challa joins the Guardians, and then the Avengers Die.
Okay.
I only switched a few around.
Yeah.
I just don't like zombies.
Like, definitely these three that we're talking about today are both in our bottom, and the first three are both in our top. They're just kind of in a different order.
Yeah.
My mentality was, like, zombies was the most boring, but it didn't fill me with rage the way that
the Tony one did. Yeah.
Or even the Doctor Strange one. Like,
mm-hmm,
those two kind of filled me with a rage that deserved being in the bottom.
Yeah.
And zombies just didn't, so it gets mid-tier, like, right in the middle.
That's fair. Yeah, I had a really hard time paying attention during the Doctor Strange one.
Yeah. But anyway, I think that's really all we've got to say. There was a trailer that came out for, like, the next few episodes, but it looked like it was all regurgitated clips from the last six, so...
Oh, okay, then I don't
care. It felt pointless. I was like, I'm gonna watch this to see if there's anything new, and it just didn't feel like there was anything new.
Oh, bummer. And that it's also a bummer that I'm just not looking forward to the final three. We are in full obligation mode.
Yeah.
And I've had some other Marvel friends ask of like, oh, do I need to watch these cartoons? And I'm like, no.
No.
The reveal hasn't hit yet, so no.
They're
kind of fun if you want, but I don't think that they are like, I need to see this to comprehend what's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I did like that... you know, we did get a scene in Doctor Strange where, like, he's actually talking to the Watcher. It felt like the Watcher is now becoming a character, and I think that that's slowly what's happening.
Yeah.
But I think that's also an issue that has been some, like... I think this is part of a greater issue that the MCU TV shows have been having, these Disney Plus shows have been having, that they don't know how to pace.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, by the time we will actually, like, care about the Watcher as a character.
Right.
And not a sentient being who's just watching over everyone, mm-hmm. it's going to be the last episode.
Yeah, that's going to be the big tie-in. Yeah. So, we'll see.
Like,
I'm really distracted by his animation. Why does he look like the To Serve Man alien from The Twilight Zone?
I don't know. I never watched The Twilight Zone, so I don't know.
That's fair.
But yeah, I don't know, man. I just think that these are such, like, lackluster episodes. And that, like, no one cares. And I think that they know that nobody cares.
Yeah. Honestly, if it weren't happening, one, live, or two, kind of like... I feel like there's some hype around it, some hype. This is definitely one of those shows that we would have watched a year later, gone and been like, oh, you know, those came out? Watched all 12, and there would have been an episode.
Yeah.
I'm kind of mad we have to care.
I mean, we don't have to care. I think there's something fun about these episodes where we get to watch them and just be like, nah.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's the fun of not this what if, but that's the fun of the general what if. And I'm bummed we're losing that sense of fun.
And we all know that I love this trope. I think they're just utilizing it terribly.
Terribly. You're right. It's because I feel like they don't understand these characters. They were just... got to write something.
Like, nothing tracks. Nothing tracks. That's and really I wish that it just tracked.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all. That's all. And we're gonna come back to what if when the next three episodes come out.
Final three.
And I honestly have no idea what we're talking about next week, but we're gonna be back next week. And
next week.
That's it. That's all I've got.
Yeah, this will be a really short episode because you'll need to hear us complain for an hour. Exactly.
Just for 40 minutes. We'll be with you till the end of the line.
Oh my God.
Unless you're zombie Steve, in which case Bucky says to you, I guess this is the end of the line.
I hated that. I did not like that. As someone who doesn't have strong emotional ties to this line, I really disliked that.
Yeah. But we'll be with you till the end of the line.
Mm-hmm.
And you can follow me on Twitter at TheSabrinaPet. You can follow Lily at Lily_Rugo. You can follow the podcast at EMFangirls. And you can check out our website, EarthsMightiestFangirls.com, and shoot us an email at EMFangirls@gmail.com. And follow me on TikTok at SomeFangirl.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts. And if you liked this episode, liked what we're doing, just leave us a comment, a review, rate us on Apple Podcasts, because that would really help us out.
Thank you to Dexter Britton for letting us use their song Wonderland, and thanks to us for editing and producing.